Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666. Nick's obviously been a focal point of the show today, but we've been mixing it up with some baseball talk, Mets and Yanks, obviously a little Rangers as well. And we just heard the soundbite from Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show prior to the break, as Hoff played it for us, BT, saying that the Giants were, in fact, trying to trade up to number three, but he believes it might have been for Joe Alt as opposed to Drake May, which just does not make sense. Although, I'd rather have the lineman than the wide receiver. You can't justify trading up for number three and then passing on another quarterback.
It's really one of the most bizarre things I've heard in a long time pertaining to either New York football team. It makes almost no sense there. You're going to give up three first-round picks to get Joe Alt? That was the equity.
Yeah.
That was the report.
So don't you think now that it's being leaked out there to make Daniel Jones feel good? Like, hey, we weren't really trying to trade up. Because everybody, the popular sentiment is, well, the Giants tried to trade up, but ultimately the price was too steep. Yeah. They didn't want to do it. And now they're stuck with Daniel Jones. But the reality is they wanted a different quarterback. Now, to backtrack that a little bit, you could say, well, we didn't want a quarterback. We were always going to believe in Daniel Jones. We wanted Joe Alt.
You know, that's an interesting thought. And that happens all the time where, you know, you pursue somebody, doesn't work out, and then you're kind of left there with egg on your face, and the guy that maybe you were trying to bypass is still there, and you got to, you know, kind of cajole the old ego a little bit. That's happened forever. I mean, does that happen here? I just don't know how the – it just doesn't make any sense. You have Andrew Thomas.
Right.
Now – I mean, Joe Alt could play the right side, I know, but you're going to give up three first-round picks for a right tackle?
No.
I mean, what the hell? No, there's no way.
Yeah, something maybe got cross-wired there.
I don't. Schefter's not a man that's irresponsible with this stuff. That's what gives you balls, you know?
No,
he's an info guy.
That's why I do think it was, though, somebody trying to leak the, oh, no, we didn't really want Drake May anyway. Here's the bottom line with the Giants draft, for me, that it's all on Daniel Jones. Again, and that's why he hated the pick with Malik Nabers. It's not about Nabers. It's about that move to me showed that they were going to go all in again with Daniel Jones. We had talked about it on Friday before we left. Oh, maybe they get a quarterback over the weekend. They didn't.
The Jets got one. The Giants didn't. The Jets did.
By the way, we'll find out years down the road how these things pan out, but I thought the Jets had a terrific draft just based on philosophy, aggressiveness, you know, picking a spot and going to get, you know, identifying what you wanted and going to get it.
Yeah.
Offensive line, obviously a big part of it, trading back, trading up, getting a quarterback who, if you think about the Jets, if it all goes to plan based on this draft.
Which it never does, this is the first.
But you build out, they have the defense in place.
Uh-huh.
You build out the offensive line moving forward. You have Rodgers here for a year or two, and then maybe this kid that they took at quarterback can transition and learn under Aaron Rodgers for a year or two and go behind a solid offensive line, a foundation of success if Rodgers does what he's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the first time in forever, it would be transitioning a quarterback into a nice spot for a change.
For once, rather than, you know, trying to, who are we going to draft? And, you know, once we draft him, how do we have a stable O-line?
Yeah.
This is the way good franchises build their team.
Yeah.
Now, I, You love the pick. I get it. I was really interested in seeing what Bowers could do, but I didn't change my perception of what the Jets were doing to the point where I was like, oh, I can't stand it. I always understood it, but I was intrigued by Bowers. What I do find interesting, and I want to incorporate Jets and Giants here for a little bit, you know, the Jets have made two picks 2 years in a row without either player being slated to start. Will McDonald did not see, barely played.
Yeah, he better. You're going to see him this year.
No,
though.
I know you are, for sure. And Olu Fashanu, unless something goes awry with Tyron Smith, he's not going to start.
But don't you like that forward thinking?
I do. I love their wide receiver they took in terms of just like what he represents. I'd be lying if I sit there. I'm sitting there saying I'm watching Western Kentucky play often, but watching his tape as all of us did. When, I mean, just what he does and what the Jets have not had really in the modern NFL. Those little, you know, those slip screens, those shallow crossing routes, dump it 5-6 yards in the air and just let somebody lower his pads and, you know, crush a quarterback or outrun a running back. That's appealing.
They said he'd
Jets
run
haven't
over.
Had that.
Yeah, I love that. They said he'd run. I just forget
run
who
over
said.
His family member.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Oh, baby, I love
I do
that.
Like that. The only other thing too is I don't love that they took so many running backs.
Mm.
I mean, that's something. Maybe at that point, maybe instead of going for the second running back, you go for a little D-line help. Obviously, the Franklin Myers trade is more about money, where you free up $7 or $8 million in terms of salary cap. Now, the dead money is a different. If you can fully understand the dead money, by all means, like, you know, just tweet me, because it's paralyzing mentally. So I think the Giants had a good draft. I think the Jets had a good draft. I think, you know, both teams avoided the temptation of reaching. I love Neighbors.
You know anything about Jordan Travis?
Him. Yeah, I watched him a lot before he got hurt. He's a dual guy. He's a little smallish. His accuracy's good. I think he's a perfect pick for the Jets now. If he plays, and he's not going to, you got massive issues.
All right, sit and learn under Rodgers for 2 years.
But also sit and learn under Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, he is more similar to Tyrod Taylor than he is to Aaron Rodgers. I think it's a very healthy quarterback room for the young man. I loved him at Florida State. When he got hurt, it changed everything about the Seminole season. Everybody knows that he followed college football. And to me, it was a forward thinker. So I think that Joe Douglas smartly, even though his job's hanging by a thread, avoided the temptation of doing everything for today. He had an eye for tomorrow, which is impressive.
Have the Giants, now that you've seen the full draft without a quarterback, has your thought changed on their draft?
No, because I think Neighbors is one of the absolute best players in the draft. I think Giant fans are going to love him. I think he's going to be a superstar. I do. I get it. You know, I don't just look at the Giants draft. I think the trade for Burns, you know, you got to incorporate that.
Yeah, but who's quarterbacking?
Well, it's going to be Daniel Jones. It's going to be your boy. Favorite player, DJ. Yeah. Let's go, DJ.
It's not even a knock on him.
I know.
Like, the Giants can't enter the conversation until they get a new quarterback. We've all known that for years, and yet they're going to double down again with Daniel Jones. It's going to be about the next guy. So what are we doing here? Wasting time. And let's say they do have some level of success like he did 2 years ago. You know what's going to happen. It's not going to be enough, and you're going to need to move on eventually. Where is the quarterback? At what point are Joe Shane and Brian Daboll going to get their quarterback? And if they don't get one, and they haven't, then I'm saying that this is your quarterback. This is the decision then that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll made. So now they're tied to the success or failure of Daniel Jones. They don't get an extra 3 years or an extra
pick. Get their guy.
Well, because they picked Daniel Jones. They chose to sign him. They chose to move on from a different quarterback or bypass other options at quarterback in the draft. They chose Daniel Jones. They chose him over McCarthy. They chose him over Penix. They chose him over taking somebody
Bo
later.
Nix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Now, I'm not as wrapped up in, you know, the Daniel Jones energy, because he's here 1 year and he's gone. And if he plays amazingly, which I don't think he will, Giants aren't ready to win, you know, maybe they reevaluate that, and maybe that will continue to bother you, and I understand that, because I don't think he's a Super Bowl kind of guy. So if you don't have your Super Bowl guy in the building, move on. I understand that thought process, but I think that you did say something really smart there. Like, the longer you keep Daniel Jones around, the more aggressively you're stamping him as your guy, because you haven't gotten rid of him. You didn't draft him, but you haven't gotten him out of the building. So, no, if they go 6-11 this year with Daniel Jones, The clock shouldn't just start automatically and reset to zero. You say, well, now they could get their guy. They're electing to stay with Daniel Jones, so Jones is becoming their guy on some level. And I get that part.
Oh, I get that part. I mean, this is going into now year three.
I get that part.
Shane and Dable. Are we going to see the results? Remember, the first year proved to be an aberration.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were going to build off of it and forget about, like, as far as where they end their season. Yeah, getting to the divisional round wasn't realistic in the second season. Making the playoffs would have been a nice stamp on that. They overachieved year one. Fine. Okay, we'll show more consistency and legitimacy in year two. They didn't. They regressed. Mm-hmm. And now year three, it's going to be a big evaluation with the same quarterback.
But the one thing, and I want to give them some credit here, while what we just hit is certainly real and a real impediment for the Giants, the quarterback, but they made a tough decision on Saquon. They made a tough one. And I think they made the right one. They made a tough decision on McKinney. You hate to draft a kid who's really good. You know, you coach him up, you develop him, and then you just don't pay him. But at that position, I understand not being able to justify paying McKinney. So I get that. You brought in Runyon. You have Andrew Thomas. You have Schmitz, et cetera. Like, the O-line's getting better, and they refuse to pay two positions that you don't need to pay. So while they might be on some level, you know, dropping the ball with Jones, I think they're doing a lot of other things well.
BT and Sal on the phone. Let's get back to your calls. 877-337-6666. Corey is in Philadelphia. Corey?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Corey?
Oh, not much. I just was listening to you guys' conversation about the City Connect jerseys. I think they're the worst thing you ever had in the baseball.
Hmm. Why?
They're just awful. I mean, they're like, if you look at like what they do, like, I'm so glad I'm a Yankees fan. Like, we don't have to worry about that. Like, they just look dreadful sometimes. Like,
I love them.
You know,
I really do, Corey.
One thing, I'm glad you brought up the Yankees aspect of it, Corey, because I was thinking about this. Whether I like them or you like them doesn't really matter. What do you think what do you think the players like? Would you rather the players like them and have fun with them, which I think 99% of them do? Or do you think that they'd rather be the Yankees and not have any fun with the City Connect jersey?
I don't know. My dream would be to be a Yankee and never have to wear anything else. You know what I mean? Them pinstripes.
Yeah, but that's yours. And understood. And thank you for the call, Corey. You know
well,
what I'm
saying? They've got ads on the jersey, Corey, so it's not like they're fully sticking to tradition.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we talk about this with the Yankees being, you know, the mustache stuff or the facial hair or, you know, prohibiting or restricting players from being their, Verdugo having a shave, restricting players from being their true selves. Where you have the City Connect, which is embracing the city, and yes, it's about money ultimately, but it's also stylish. Like, the Rays ones are really cool.
No, we were talking about those
during the break.
Yes. Oh, they love it.
If you're a Yankee, you don't get to experience that.
Dude, they love it. I mean, I was always, and I still am at my core, traditionalist in terms of that stuff. Like, I don't want the Yankees to suddenly have 9 jerseys. I don't love when the Knicks, you know, wear white on the road. I hate it. But the one thing, and this is now because, you know, I'm at baseball fields a lot with my son, like, the swag and the uniform, it is just a different world, and I love it. And I'm jealous. Like, whether it's, like, the elbow guards with your numbers on or the Bruce Bowl batting gloves that you could personalize or Rawlings gloves that you could have, see if your colors are red and black, you could have a red and black glove made. Neon spikes, the chains, like, these kids, they have everything. And these players in the major leagues right now... weren't too long, but you know, too long ago playing in like perfect game or USABL, whatever, and wearing these uniforms. So this is just a natural continuation of what they are used to. So yeah, well, you and I aren't young, you know, we're not 60s or you know, but you know, we're not kids. But understand, I will never get in the way of young kids expressing themselves. And some of these uniforms are awesome.
Right. So if you're, let's say, I don't know, a 25-year-old.
I'd be all over it.
Right. If you're a 25-year-old, you'd be like, oh my God, I love those City Connect jerseys.
I like them now. I said that last segment. I like the Mets jerseys.
Right. I don't necessarily love them, but like maybe Juan Soto does.
Yeah, well.
Oh, he's 25. You think he looks and says, you know what? I want to have fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and I'm with you with tradition, and I like all that.
You just can't help yourself with the Soto stuff. Go ahead, keep going.
No, but sometimes, it's forget even about him, but he is 25.
Yeah, forget about him. Bring him up. Go ahead.
Don't you think, like, we could be traditionalists, but don't you think some of the younger players want to have fun? And it seems like, you know, other teams embracing this new wave of bull crap could be fun to the young kids.
Listen, I'm surprised that, like, it hasn't happened. And I do respect the Yankees for not cracking and just acquiescing because, you know, certain people want different traditions or older traditions, like uniform traditions, to die. It's their right. Until players start saying, I'm not going to play for you because of this, they don't need to change it. But I also think that Juan Soto liked that Miami Vice style jersey that he had out in San Diego a year ago. Didn't prevent him from leaving it on the floor.
Remember, he gets traded. You know, now he gets to choose where he goes.
Yeah.
Fun? Or,
Come on,
we did battle with the Knicks in the first segment. Let's do battle with Soto. We got to bring that back.
Well, trust me, plenty of days to battle with Soto. That's just starting up. What was the, Hoff, you told me and I forgot, what was the uniform that the Yankees and the Dodgers, that wasn't the Negro Leagues, that was just like a black-white version a couple of years ago when the Yankees wore the black jersey. Like, I like that. And it's so anti-Yankee. It's so against the Yankee corporate traditional grain. But I thought Judge looked sick in that uniform.
Yeah, me too.
I love that stuff.
I like it. I didn't like the one that they did at
the Field of Dreams.
I didn't like the black jersey.
You didn't like
the black white jersey was a waste of time.
It was all
everything was black. Everything was white for the Dodgers. It just that to me was a waste. You could have done so much better.
I hate when the Knicks wear color jerseys at home and then whites on the road. Like
that's
little things
nuts.
Like that bother me. And same thing, like if you're watching the Yankees Dodgers, you want to see. I want to see Yankees Dodgers uniforms.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but does it really? What does it change?
No, nothing other than the enjoyment and the nostalgia of watching.
Yeah, it's what YouTube is for. Hey, go watch Steve Garvey on YouTube with Davey Lopes.
But
go
I'd
watch
rather
him
do
beat
that.
Us in the 81 World
Series. And by the way, as you get older, you learn. Like I'm going through it. We're learning that it's not for us. They're not doing it to make the 40-year-old or 45-year-old happy.
They don't care about us.
They're doing it to make the 20-year-old happy. So kids, one day when they grow, you know, 20 years from now, they'll be like, oh, I love those City Connect jerseys. Bring those back. Those are great. I look at them and be like, that's trash. That's not the Mets. Like the purple and black. Go root for the Rockies.
Dude, when I was, this is even in college. I would have to go to one store to get batting gloves, right? Like I wore Franklin.
Same
right?
thing. Yeah.
Okay, you love the Franklin.
Yeah, those are traditional. I love those.
Go when you have time. Just mess around. They don't pay me a dime. I have them. I just got them for my son. Go check out like Bruce Bolt. You don't heard of those lightning bolts?
Yeah, you talked about it. Yeah.
There's like 1,000 different colors. Hoff knows because his boys play. JD probably has the bolts. They're sick, dude. They're also like.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan-favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
$100.
Yeah.
And
used to be 35 a glove.
That's what they were.
The
35 a pair. Yeah. Not a glove. 35 a pair.
Are you sure about that?
Not positive. I mean, when I played, I'm only 5 years older than you.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was 35 a glove.
No, they weren't $70 for the pair. No way.
Yeah,
but the point is no matter what color uniform you wear as a young kid now, there are things to match up. The sleeve.
I still think the Franklins were the best.
I like the Franklins. Well, that was what Mattingly wore. I love the Franklins. The black and white ones. Those were muddies, no doubt. But it's a different world, and it's more, you know, expressing like the styles, and I think it's awesome. I really like that.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Frankie's calling from Bay Ridge. What's up, Frankie?
BT and Salvatore.
Frankie?
First of all, BT, when you have dogs in your team, you're always a championship contender, so we're all dogs, so don't worry about that.
They really are. I mean, they are they're not just barking. They'll bite you, too.
You notice now that term is being used for everybody. Every player that was drafted this year.
But not everybody. Dog.
Every player that was drafted's a dog now. I'm not blaming you, Frankie.
Yeah.
Listen, Frankie. Frankie, hold on a second. I'm not talking about Brunson. I'm talking about in general now what Starlout is describing.
I'll let you get to it.
But it used to be unicorn, like, oh, this guy's a unicorn. Then everybody became a unicorn. Then it was, oh, this guy's a dog. Now it's everywhere you look, everybody's dogs. Go ahead, Frankie.
Yeah, but if you're a true sports fan, you know who's a dog and who's
yeah,
not.
No, that's true. That's true.
Salvador, don't put your fingers in front of Brunson's face because he'll bite you.
What are we doing? What are we doing here? BT and Sal on the fan, 877-337-6. I just got a, so, you know, I told you, you know, I do the Baseball Night New York show, whatever. I said, well, I'm one of the guys that produces a huge Sixers fan. He's the one who has the season tickets, whatever. So he texts me about the show. He's like, anything specific from the weekend? I'm like, yeah, Yanks lineup, Brunson.
No, he did. Yeah. Get that on the little baseball rundown.
Oh, baby.
I mean.
The trash talking. I don't want to fully, like you said, with Spike,
yeah.
You're chomping at the bit to get him. I know it.
Haven't tweeted a word yet.
One
it's
more.
Coming. I've laid out, as he's sent, you know, drivelous after drivelous tweet about the mentality and this and that. You're going down. And I wouldn't have taken it personally with Spike if he didn't barge into our studio before he left and, you know.
I remember.
And quit on us and went down to Philly to get behind a microphone where he came in like we were so, you know, disillusioned by the prospects of what the Knicks can do, which was one aspect of his critique, which is fine. But then the other aspect, like he's walking around like you got Dr. J and Charles Barkley and Moses. You haven't won since 83. I told him. See, you haven't won anything. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the perfect response.
I think that was the best part. Like, whether you think the Knicks are legit or whatever, the Sixers and their fans, like Spike's whole pushback and Sixers fans, I think, in general, why are the Knicks haven't been anything in 20 years?
So what? Means nothing. Neither is your team.
Right? Well, neither of you. You act because of the process or because of Embiid that the Sixers have accomplished something great. They haven't been to the Eastern Conference Finals since Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks already last year were in the semis.
Yep.
They're on their way this year to the semis. That's all that the Sixers have done with all the process, with all the failed picks, Fultz, and give me all the, not Embiid.
Markelle Fultz, did you say Fultz?
Yeah.
Did you say Ben Simmons?
Okafor, Nerds, Noel,
oh God,
Ben Simmons.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. Trust the process. All of those picks, even with hitting on Embiid, they still haven't been to an Eastern Conference Finals.
Tobias Harris's dopey contract. I mean, they picked it up. I think the Pistons they've given it to.
No.
Yeah, it's a bad contract.
Yeah.
So I think that the Sixers, to me, specifically Embiid, if this flame out is punctuated tomorrow night at the Garden, and it will be, I mean, don't you have to start thinking about Embiid as the greatest player in terms of the greatest underachiever in NBA history?
I don't even know if he's up. I mean, he's a great player, yes. Is he that great? Like,
he's.
You're talking about as far as team success?
No. Well, okay. Yes. Team success.
Well, immediately come to mind Ewing and Barkley.
I mean, Patrick Ewing got to two NBA finals.
That's what I'm saying. So, but we're not just talking about championship. We're talking about.
No, just in terms of getting to, like, consistently get to being in play to be. On the short list, four championships. Like, if he gets bumped out in round one, I mean, he's not going to be healthier next year. He's only getting older and heavier, and, you know, those limbs are getting weaker by the year. Do we expect that he's just going to regenerate and suddenly go on a 3 or 4 year run where he's fully healthy? No, I think it's going to be the opposite.
You know, it's funny you say that about the health. All kidding aside, like, and you know, I know he's got a serious issue going on, but my wife has no idea what's going on. She comes in, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, watching the game. She'll watch a little, cares about them. She's like, this guy looks like he's about to die.
About Embiid?
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, like he's hobbled. He's big.
His eye.
He's weight. Yeah, he does not look good. Would you take a chance? Knicks need a superstar. Embiid's available, and even if he's fully healthy in the offseason, like, would you want him? I wouldn't touch him at this
because
point.
And I know that sounds so dopey, and people will challenge that. Yeah, you wouldn't want him. No, first of all, I wouldn't want him because I can even get past the dirty stuff. Like, you know, once he becomes yours, I didn't want Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
And then he becomes yours, you embrace him, right? So I don't want to be disingenuous in that regard. Like, if Embiid was in a Knicks uniform, I'd be rooting for him, and he'd be amazing. The problem is, what it would require to get Joel Embiid, you'd have to gut the entire soul of the team, and I'm not doing that for a guy who plays 55 to 60 games a year and has done nothing on the big stage.
AJ is in Eastchester. What's up, AJ?
What's going on, guys? Great show. A lot of energy today. I love it.
What do you call it? I'd love to hear Spike right now. He came in, what was it, 2 weeks ago holding some big ones over his shoulder when he walked into your studio, I swear.
He did.
I mean, really.
Yeah, well, they're between his legs right now.
Well, but that's saying, you basically say so he's got big
No,
big
tail between his legs is what I meant.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah. But he did say something.
I guess that, yeah, you're right. I screwed that one
think
up.
Think about that.
Hold on. Let me restate on, that. Yeah. He came in. They're cut off, and he's got his tail between his legs, is what I meant to say. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
he did touch on something during that time in the studio. He did touch on something. He did say, listen, this isn't your natural 7 seed. They're not a real 7 seed. This series was not supposed to be easy.
I know. There were people thinking, AJ, people were saying the Knicks should duck it, lose the last game, don't get fit nonsense.
No, and look, this has been a downright dirty, dirty series. And look, the Knicks have been fighting through it. And Sal, you've been using some words like lucky and fortunate. But when you play team basketball the way this team is playing, you could get through these dirty, dirty moments. It took an otherworldly third quarter for this team to actually pull that game out. If they don't have that third quarter, I mean, really, what is this series at right now? I mean, if you really, really think about it.
No, you can't. You can't say the ifs and buts, because I could say that the other way. What you have to go based off of is what is. And what I said, and thank you for the call, AJ, is that the Knicks were lucky in game two. I thought they were lucky in game one, but they played a good enough game to win in game one. So whether I think they're lucky or not, or play well, doesn't really matter. They won game one, and that's fair and square. Game two, they were lucky. And look, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And sometimes along the way on a championship run or a run to the finals or Eastern Conference finals, you need to get a break here or there. The Knicks got that break in game two. They also put themselves in a position to get that break. If Maxey calls a timeout or doesn't go to the floor there, then the Sixers win the game. He didn't. Now, the ref didn't make the call, but still, that doesn't mean Maxey has to give up the ball the way that he did. If Hartenstein doesn't grab that rebound, he doesn't have to. A Sixer could have gotten it. The Knicks don't win. If DiVincenzo doesn't hit that second shot, Knicks don't win. So they also made some plays to win. However, while I acknowledge that, I also have to understand that they were fortunate to win that game. Game three went the way of the superstar, Joel Embiid. Game four, the Knicks, to me, played their best game. That is, to me, how they are going to win and do damage in the postseason. Brunson going nuts, efficiently, but going nuts to, you know, 35, 40 points, whatever it may be, and the Knicks then playing with that heart, defense, toughness, rebounding. That, to me, is the recipe for success. Game four, I don't have any issues with from a Knicks perspective.
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe I'm kind of leaning on semantics here a little bit. Like, I don't use the word, or I wouldn't say the Knicks were lucky. I would say that there were elements of luck. And it's, I get it. Yeah, that's why I say semantics. It's kind of the same thing, but like the Knicks had some lucky moments and there were elements of luck, but if they didn't do their job and then seize it and impose their will on the offensive rebounds, like the luck doesn't come. It doesn't come to fruition. So, well, but I hear you.
And the Sixers choking it away too. Like, no doubt. It took a combination of the Sixers choking it away, the Knicks getting a little lucky, and also the Knicks not choking it away and making their plays.
You can get lucky, or you can get presented with elements of luck. You got to seize it and take it. They did. But I would also say this. Like, I like to talk about the origin of the luck here, because while the Knicks were lucky, and again, elements, I'm being repetitive, but just I don't want to say they weren't lucky. There were things at play that they were fortunate to benefit from, like some whistles. That's why you had the final, you know, review the next day, and Sixers got hosed a few times. Great. But the Knicks were also very unlucky in the sense that Embiid did not get thrown out when he should have.
Right.
And if Embiid gets thrown out when he did what he did to Mitchell Robinson, I think, and I really believe this, that the end of the game isn't even an issue because the Knicks run away and bury Philly without Joel Embiid. So where the Knicks benefited late, that's gone.
So then game two and three, we take them as a wash.
Yeah, and I don't think they were lucky in game one. I thought they outplayed it. Right. We talked about this. Plus 23 rebound, 46%
lucky's
for the
free
throw line. From three.
Lucky's not the right word to use in game one. I do think that the Sixers played a bad game, and if the Sixers played better in that game, the Sixers at their best in game one would have beaten the Knicks at their best in game one, but they didn't. I mean, the Sixers didn't play well, and the Knicks did enough to win the game. Game four, I don't think there was anything the Sixers could have done to beat the Knicks in that game.
But I also think, and this is, again, fundamentally disagree on this, I think part of the reason why, whether it was game one, spurts of game two, obviously yesterday, part of the reason why Philly is not playing as well as people thought that they would is because the Knicks ain't letting them. Like, the Knicks aren't letting them.
Well, I think
they are boxing them out. They are punking them on the backboard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And yep. They're just making more winning plays.
Well, that is true as far as their will and determination and on the board specifically. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan.
We are the New York Knicks.
Oh, we are the no New time York. To Sally Boyd and play on two.
This is one song that does get me going.
Oh, God.
I still haven't removed the barrier in my mind yet, but...
Oh, yeah, well... Here we go, a little Hubie, a little
and
Hubert. Oh, man.
Maybe I'll wear my Harper jersey next week. Round two, I'm going to be all in on round two.
That's very nice of you to join the party. I mean, some of us have been here since game one. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well... I mean, I got to call it how it is.
Well, how it is the Knicks are up 3-1.
Well, some of us have been here since game one. Did you tell Jalen Brunson? Did you give him the invite to the party?
What do you,
he didn't show up until game four. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Game three was fine.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, he was all right. Yeah, game three, they got smoked in game three.
He played well.
Yeah.
It is odd. He played poorly. He played very poorly in game one, very poorly in game two. Win-win. Play much better in game three. Lose. But that was emblematic of the season and the stamp and the impact he's had so far. As a Nick, he has been phenomenal.
Look, he's great. And I understand that the reality is, and I when I'm doing this, I say we have some fun with it. We go back and forth. Yeah, but the reality is, like, I do separate being a fan from what I'm seeing. And logically, and I understand that some fans don't want to hear it. I don't care. It's my job to tell it to you how I see it. And how I see it is that they're not good enough. Now, I mean, doesn't mean just because I don't think that they're good enough that they're not. Let's see them. Let's see them go out there and do it. But, I mean, as of now, based on the three first games that I saw, I don't have confidence that the Knicks could get to an Eastern Conference Finals and certainly beat a team like Boston. Who's to say that Boston's even there, though, when they get there?
It's not going to go according to script, is the sense that I'm getting so far from these early playoff rounds.
Oh, Boston's not there, even though Miami would still worry me. Whatever.
Not without Jimmy Butler?
Can't worry about still, Miami could be dangerous.
Knicks would sweep them without Butler. See, let me ask you this.
Also, if the Knicks play like they played yesterday, then I'm all in. Like, I believe in that team. Nothing about yesterday's performance I think is fraudulent or fluky. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if they could sustain that. And against the better teams, going
to
be tough.
Do you think they'll find a way to slam the door and fill in advance to round two? Yes or no?
Ultimately?
Yes.
Yes, eventually I do.
Okay, so you've got to move it on past round one eventually. Okay. Do you think they would beat the Pacers in a seven-game series?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I want to watch more of the Pacers series here with the Bucks. I have not watched a lot of them.
Yep.
But based on what I saw in the regular season, I'm not afraid of the Pacers.
No, nor should you be. Right. Knicks are better.
But I do hear... you know, again, not that it means everything, but other people like Shaq and Charles talking about it, like, oh, the Pacers would beat them. And I do understand that the Pacers could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But no, based on what I've seen, the little that I've seen of the Knicks taking on the Pacers in the regular season, I would not be worried about Indiana.
Do you think that they could beat a hobbled Milwaukee Bucks team if the Bucks somehow regenerate and Doc Rivers doesn't choke?
Yes.
Although Doc's had no healthy bodies this year. Okay.
Yes.
So you think it's highly plausible, not to put words in your mouth, but based on the way you just characterized that, highly plausible the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Correct.
Okay.
So which would be their great achievement for me for the year, like reaching at the very least their ceiling. Could they blow through that ceiling? Potentially. But to me, like, that's minimum of what they need to do, get past the second round to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And me, even who thinks they could push it past that, like, even if they lost in five, granted it wasn't non-competitive, like, and I don't think they'd lose in five, but if they did, I would still be incredibly proud, and I would stamp this a season of overachievement and accomplishment with no buts, except now we got to see what we do during the summer. So it's interesting because if you're not feeling my energy toward the Knicks being, while imperfect, but in an imperfect season, maybe being able to mess around and win a championship or get there, but yet you kind of pushed them into the conference finals. That's not that much of a step forward.
Well, it is a significant step forward when I think you hit that roadblock that is potentially the Boston Celtics. Also, remember, I'm saying now I think that they could beat Indiana or Milwaukee, but I want to see how they play in game one or game two. A big part of my fears with the Knicks, they were all realized to me in watching the first two games where I would want to maybe lift that ceiling or remove the roadblock and say, okay, I think this team could go on and win a championship or at least get to a championship. Then I watched them play, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? They miss Randle. They don't have that secondary score. This is a problem. All my feelings were validated, even with the win. I'll give you an example. If the Knicks lost yesterday, and by the way, the game was, up
Knicks
for grabs.
Down by what, 9 or 10, whatever it was.
I'm saying, so even in the fourth quarter, until the Knicks were in real control late when they took it over with not just Brunson, but the energy and effort specifically on the boards, but had the Knicks lost that game yesterday, I still would have felt good about them based off of the way that they played. Because I believe that you play like that the majority of the time, you're going to win more than you're going to lose, meaning Brunson being a big factor. And obviously the other guys like, DiVincenzo will get it going for a game, or somebody else will step up for a game. Where yesterday I thought that was the type of effort that I've been waiting to see from the Knicks. It took three games or to the fourth game, and then we saw it. So it wasn't just that they won the game. It was how they played that, to me, is something that I could believe in with this team.
Do you think, and part of me wants them to do this, but part of me also doesn't want to fall into the trap of doing something stupid. I still feel like somebody needs to take out Embiid.
Well, why at this point if you just want to bury them and move on?
Exactly? I know. It's not the rational. I mean, the rational thing now is what they did yesterday. Just, take the stomps, take the dirty plays, keep your head on. Don't lose focus.
Also, because the Sixers are likely.
Win.
Yeah, likely because the Sixers are going home. So I'm with you. I want revenge. I'd love to see an elbow thrown his way, whatever it may be. But then what? Risk getting somebody penalized for the next round? You don't want to do that.
That's the emotional side taking over. Pragmatically, it's dumb at this point.
You heard what Oakley had to say, right?
I didn't.
Ooh, Oakley said, I don't know the exact quote, but basically, that wouldn't fly with us. And somebody's got to send a message. You can't let them think that they could get away with that. Where was it, Hop? Did you see that Oakley, Charles Oakley spoke somewhere? Maybe news they had it. Somebody had it before the game, before game four.
Oh, before the game.
Yeah,
and it happened again.
Twice. I mean, that's why you send a message. So, if your dad doesn't punish you after the first time, you're going to do it again.
That's true.
So, I mean, you get away with it, and Embiid's thinking, what are they going to do? They're not going to do anything. They're soft. Oakley said something in the sort like, somebody's got to send a message. That wouldn't be happening to us.
He didn't even have to say that. We already knew that, but it's,
he said, I would have smacked him, was the quote.
Is that what he said?
Right, Hoff?
Oakley said. The best. He's a legitimate badass. How anybody would want to mess with that guy?
Hoff, a man, a few words today.
Yeah, he is very
quiet. Right, Hoff? He goes, yeah.
I'm doing a dove.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. I'm trying to tee you up to get involved here, and you give me one word answer. What do you want to do? I'm going to go to Boyle instead.
I'm going
to
give the one more answer.
Instead of BT and I fighting today, I think Hoff is mad that you and I didn't continue fighting throughout the course of the show.
What? I enjoyed pull back the curtain. That spark.
Let's pull it back. Good.
Yeah, Hoff loved the open. BT and I got into it, and it was a real get into it. This was no fake thing.
We were into it.
And then Hoff didn't like that we kind of, got away from that a little bit.
He backtracked.
Now you're mad. Well, we didn't backtrack.
It's hard to scream for 4 hours.
No, yeah, the energy, you guys crushed it in the beginning. And listen, not saying you don't crush it every second of the day,
it's
but.
All right. You could be honest. You like the open, and then you get down on us. And
kind of went
checked
a little
out.
Soft. He kind of pulled it at B.
And I can tell he checked out because I teed him up three times throughout the course of the show, and he's just like, huh, yeah, no. You're giving nothing. You
I was also doing some other things on the side, too.
I tell you what, Patty B's not going to fumble that chance. You yeah, give him right. a, so that's, give it, you're already taking a whole football field.
So, right, instead of us fighting here, let's make them fight in there.
How's that work? Don't bring me into this.
Oh, okay.
Turn those tables.
Hawk's mad now.
He's not mad.
So I've never mad.
Hawk doesn't really, he gets agitated. I don't know that he gets, like, mad where he carries it for a while, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I let it out, and that's it.
Which is the best way to be. I can't stand people who are angry and just are passive-aggressive and don't, you know, just flush it out.
Right.
Like talk and what are you mad about? What's the problem? Let's fix it. Well, let's move forward.
BT, you know who does that normally?
Who?
Your partner.
What?
Sal?
He sits on it for a little bit.
I don't think so, does he?
Oh, yeah.
Does he?
You think so, huh?
I don't think he does. Yeah.
I was going to say BT does that.
No.
What? I think we hashed it out during the first break. We're all right, we got an issue. Let's hash it out.
Yeah.
We've had, what do you mean? How many meetings have we had before with Spike where, you know.
Just saying.
What do you mean? How is this coming back to me?
You know why? He's trying to drive the wedge again.
He is.
He wants us to go out.
We went to commercial. I was the one, right? I was like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
In break, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I was right or wrong for you, I didn't hide anything. I'm like, come on, what are we doing?
But that's what I'm saying.
Mitch wanted, we're screaming at each other. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I mean.
Are they up 3-1 or are they down 1-3?
I didn't say to come in talking about championship. You did.
I think they got a chance.
I mean, I can't let that go.
I think they got a chance.
That's what we talk about Brunson as great as somehow it turns into, the Knicks can win a championship. I'm like, come on, bro. We can't win it. And then we start fighting about it.
Well, here's what's interesting. The Yanks and the Mets are just on temporary pause. The blood will be boiling at some point with those.
You know,
the baseball takes will be flying.
I don't know, BT, because I'm not, like, we agree with what the Mets are.
For now.
Even if you thought they were going to be worse than what I thought, whatever. Like, they're still, I still think they could be a playoff team, but I don't, like, I'm not taking them seriously yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a long, I like them as a competitive team. I'm talking about seriously, like, to the next level.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to get excited about a team that can maybe get to the wild card and maybe win a game. You know what I mean?
But for a team that was supposed to be really bad, like, that would excite me. Like, if a team that I root for,
yeah.
Why is that? It still doesn't sound right, but you know what I
right.
mean. If that team wasn't thought to be really viable as a playoff team, you know, they're presenting some evidence to the contrary, I don't know. Me, the optimistic type, might latch on.
Yeah.
Sal might not.
Just call what it is. Yeah. They're no good.
It is what it is. The Mets are over 500. The Knicks are up 3-1. No matter what you say in your distorted mind, the Knicks have won 3 times. Philly's won once.
Yeah, all right. And the Giants don't have a quarterback. Yeah. BT and Sal on the Philly. We'll be back at it again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Patty Boyle. Thank you to Hoff. As always, we appreciate everything from him. We'll see you tomorrow at 10. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. I don't, in fact, wear panties.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.